scripture reading this morning is found in the Epistle of James. In James chapter 1, we read the entire first chapter. Our text is found in the last verses, verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. text that we consider this morning is James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. I'll read those again at this time. James 1, verse 21 and following. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, every child of God, every child of God is a doer of the word to one degree or another. And therefore, everyone who publicly confesses their faith is confessing that they are doers of the word and desire to be doers of the word. James makes it clear that there are two kinds of people in the church institute. Some are merely hearers of the word, and others are hearers and doers of the word. And the question each of us ought to face this morning is, what kind of hearer are we? Are we mere hearers, or are we also doers of the word? Those who merely hear the word deceive themselves. They might think that they have true religion, but they are mistaken. James makes the distinction between these two kinds of hearers. And it's really the difference between true and false religion. James stresses that throughout the entire epistle. For example, James 1 verse 26 and following, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, it is empty. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The distinction that James makes between the mere hearers and the doers is the distinction between true and false religion. It is also the same distinction that James makes between a dead faith and a living faith. James chapter 2, verse 14, we read, James chapter 2, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That is to say, can that faith save him? And then verse 17 as well, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So in that light, the inspired apostle admonishes his readers to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So let's consider the text under that theme, doers of the word. In the first place, let's note the hearing of that word. Secondly, the doing of it. And lastly, the blessedness of those who are doers of the word. Doers of the word, the hearing, the doing, and the blessedness. Before we talk about doers of the word, however, we need to talk about the word. Who are these doers of the word? What is the word which they do? James refers to that word earlier in the chapter that we read. James chapter 1, verse 18. James 1, verse 18, where the apostle says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The word of truth. The word of truth is the word which is true. It contains the truth. That is to say, it proclaims the truth. It is the truth. That is the gospel. The gospel proclaimed by God's servants and applied by His Spirit is the powerful word which God uses to beget us again, to cause us to be born again. That's the idea of verse 18. Of His own will begat He us. Notice our will is not involved in that. God begets us of His own will. And after He begets us, then our own will becomes involved. Then we willingly follow because He has first regenerated us and worked in our hearts. James stresses the fact that we are new creatures not because we ourselves decided to be new creatures, but because God decided of His own will to make us new creatures. Later, in the very same chapter, the Holy Spirit calls the Word the engrafted Word, part of our text, verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." The engrafted word is that word which is planted by God's grace, by His Spirit, that word which is implanted in our hearts. Not that you understand that word by itself can save us, but only as the Spirit applies it. And then that word becomes a powerful means by which God accomplishes our salvation. That's a word that we ought to pay attention to. That's an amazing word that James is speaking about. A word that causes our begetting. A word that is powerful to save as the Spirit applies it. That's a word that we must not ignore. Of course, James is not talking about the bare message of the gospel. He's talking about the whole Word of God. Take all of God's Word together, which has as its central message salvation in Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, God's Word is the word that we need to know if we are going to know our misery, if we are going to know God's salvation in Jesus Christ, if we are going to know how we ought to show our thankfulness. We need to know this word. If we are going to enjoy Him forever, if we are going to glorify God, we need this word. Think about all that is connected with the message of the gospel. The gospel is not just the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world. The gospel also has to proclaim our misery. It also has to tell us about our misery in Adam. It has to tell us about the fall of mankind into sin and therefore the total depravity of mankind apart from Jesus Christ. In the gospel, we learn of the remedy for that misery of ours, which is Jesus Christ and His righteousness. and connected with the gospel, we learn of the good works of thankfulness. The word which James is speaking of is all of God's word, all of God's speech to us. It's a word that not only reveals God's promises, but it's a word that admonishes us to believe those promises. There's a hearing and a doing. It's a word that not only tells us about our sins, but it also commands us to repent and flee from sin. There's a hearing and a doing. It not only tells us about Jesus Christ, but it also tells us to look to Him alone for salvation. There's a hearing and a doing. This is a word which we must hear and do. James 1 verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Evidently, if we are going to be doers, it's clear that we first need to be hearers of the word. And that comes out, the hearing of the word comes out and is taught in verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Receive with meekness the engrafted word. But here's where the battle comes. To be proper hearers of the word, the Holy Spirit tells us to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That is, set aside all the filth of sin. Set aside the filth of pride. Set aside the filth of slander. Set aside that malice. And set aside the superfluity of naughtiness. That is to say, set aside that overflowing evil. Set aside all that evil that still clings to us. It's striking that James, or significant that James is writing to those who professed to be Christians. And notice what he says about them throughout the epistle, these people who profess to be Christians. He's writing to all of God's people, but among them he recognizes there are two kinds of people. Notice what he says about the people whom he addresses. James 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That's their basic error. So many are friends of the world. And these same people then manifested that evil in a number of ways. They thought, for example, too highly of the rich, and they thought too little of the poor. James 2, verse 2. James 2, verse 2. "For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." They thought too highly of the rich and too little of the poor. They were guilty of causing all kinds of contentions in the church. James chapter 4, verse 1. James 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. These are people who made all kinds of plans for the future, presumptuous plans. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And they hoarded their riches and withheld pay from their workers. James 5, verse 3. James 5, verse 3 and following. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. James is writing to those who profess to be Christians. Now it's true, some manifest these sins more than others. Think of those with a dead faith. But isn't that wickedness that James describes? Is not that wickedness in all of us? Are we not more friendly to the world than we ought to be? Are we not more contentious than we ought to be? Are we not covetous and presumptuous in one way or another? So James, after all, is addressing the people of God in the church. James says, lay that all aside. Lay all that wickedness apart. Lay apart all filthiness, all that filth, and that overflowing evil, that superfluity of naughtiness. Lay it aside. Put it away. Because it hinders the reception of the word. That's the context. He says, lay those apart, and then he says, and receive with meekness. These things hinder the reception of the word. So lay them aside. Remember the parable of the sower? I'm not going to go through all the different kinds of soil, but remember the parable. Jesus talked about that seed which landed among the thorns. Matthew 13:22. He also that received seed, and that seed is the word of God, received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That is to say, he doesn't do the word. They choke the word. These things hinder the reception of the word. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart. Lay those things apart. All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive. That is, hear properly. Receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. Sit under the preaching of God's word. Receive it. Hear the word of truth with all readiness of mind, like the Bereans who searched the scriptures daily. First they heard the word, they searched the scriptures daily, not just one book and one chapter of the word, but they searched all the scriptures to see if those things were so. Hear the word with all readiness of mind. Don't dismiss it because it doesn't fit with some preconceived notions that we have. Don't shut it out because it steps on your toes and condemns some particular sin. Don't attack the messenger because you don't like the message. Receive the word with meekness. Receive the word with meekness. Hear the word of truth with a gentle and humble spirit. Mull it over and see if it squares with God's word, the whole of God's word. Hear the word. That's necessary. But don't stop there. That's the next verse that James writes to us. Receive the word, but then verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word. Literally, the original Greek says, become doers of the word. Not only that, the command in the original is, and we've seen this kind of thing before, is in the present tense. And so James, the inspired apostle, as he writes this, is talking about an ongoing process, something that we ought to be practicing every day. We could translate the idea then, be in the process of becoming doers of the word. That's a continual duty laid upon believers. Hear the word and do it. Hear the words of Jesus Christ and do them. No doubt James has reference to Jesus' words recorded in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Through 49. Jesus says this, and notice the references to being doers and hearers. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, that is Master, Master, as if they submitted to him? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus and James have in mind two kinds of hearers. There is one who hears and does not do, and there is another one who hears and that's it. Hears and does. One who hears and does not do, and one who hears and does. What kind of hearers are we? What kind of hearers are we? James describes these two kinds of hearers under the figure of someone who looks in a mirror. James 1, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, that is, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He looks into the mirror, and immediately he turns away, he walks away, and he forgets what he saw. Notice the text says he sees his natural face. Verse 23, beholding his natural face in a glass. He sees his natural face, but then he forgets it. He walks away deliberately, and he doesn't want to remember it. He sees himself in the gospel. He hears the gospel. He sees in the word of truth his natural face, that is, the face that he has by nature. He sees that he is a depraved sinner, that is, that's what the word tells him. But he turns away from that. He walks away from that, and he deliberately forgets straightway. Not just accidentally, not that he wants to remember and forgets by accident. No, he deliberately forgets. He doesn't like that message about his natural face. He proudly maintains his own righteousness as something that will earn him a place in heaven. You see, the mere hearer doesn't bother looking for a solid foundation, now referring back to Jesus' parable of building the house. The mere hearer doesn't bother looking for a solid foundation upon which to build his hope of heaven. He thinks his own work, all the works that he does by himself, he thinks, this will be my solid foundation. This hearer is a proud Pharisee, always looking down at others who miss the mark. That's what Pharisees do, look down at others. If somebody falls into sin, they say, how could he do such a thing? I would never do that. Because the Pharisee doesn't want to recall his own natural face, that he himself has a depraved nature, that he himself could fall just like that. No, he wants to point his finger and say, I would never do that. And if he does sin, it's always somebody else's fault. That's one hearer. But James describes the other kind of hearer in verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he doesn't run away from it immediately, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He looks into the mirror, the perfect law of liberty. He hears the word of the gospel, but he doesn't walk away and try to forget what the gospel says. He continues in it. He remains close to the Word. He sees his natural face too. He understands that the depravity of the old man still clings to him. Humbly he remembers his sins and his sinfulness. He carries this knowledge wherever he goes. But he doesn't stop there. Having heard of his sinfulness, he refuses to trust his own righteousness. He refuses to trust in his own works as the foundation upon which he will build his hope. No, he builds his hope of glory on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, that righteousness which is declared in the perfect law of liberty. The gospel that proclaims our liberty. He hears that Jesus kept that law perfectly from beginning to end. He hears and believes that he paid the full ransom for all of our sins. And that he redeems us from sin's guilt and power. He rejects his own righteousness as the foundation for his salvation. But he doesn't stop there either. Hearing the law of liberty, he rejoices. He rejoices that he is free from the guilt of sin. He rejoices that he is free from the bondage of despair. He rejoices that he is free to love God and to love his neighbor in newness of life. This man is not only a hearer, but he is also a doer of the Word. And so constantly he strives to do everything that God commands him to do because he is thankful for what God has done for him. He is thankful for God's abundant mercy. The mere hearer deceives himself. He is not blessed in any way, to go back to the mere hearer. James 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The mere hearer deceives himself. He pretends, or he thinks to himself, he deceives himself that he is blessed. He convinces himself that it's enough to hear the word and to nod in assent. Yep, I agree with that. He convinces himself that merely sitting in church and hearing the Word, showing up on Sunday, proves that his faith is a true faith. And he imagines that doing the Word is not really that important. Maybe he will do a bare minimum to keep from being bothered by others about his life. He makes a show of religion. He comes to church. He has doctrinal knowledge. Maybe he's even very good at arguing that with others. But the heart is missing. He deceives himself. The rest of the book of James talks about that deception as well. Talks about the bankrupt religion of the mere hearer. I read again verse 26 of chapter 1. If any man among you seem to be religious, that is, to himself, he seems to, if any of you thinks to himself that he is religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He thinks he has religion, true religion, but the fact that his religion makes no difference upon the way he uses his tongue. It makes no difference in the way that he talks to others. He still goes on slandering and backbiting and gossiping. This man who deceiveth his own heart, his religion. The contrast is verse 27. And undefiled before God and the Father is this. It's an active religion. Listen to what James says. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to himself unspotted from true religion makes a difference. The mere hearer doesn't do that. The mere hearer hears the word and it makes no difference. Children, you know what will happen to that house that was built on the sand? The house that was built on the sand when the storms of judgment came. What happened to that house? It fell. When the storms of judgment blow on the hearer's house, when they blow upon him, you will experience the horrible judgments of hell. His show of religion only brought him greater judgment. But on the other hand, James calls the hearer and the doer of the word, one who hears and who also is a doer, James calls him blessed. James 1, verse 25. James 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He who diligently looks into the word of God and sees that Christ is the way of freedom from sin and wrath. He who looks into the Word of God and sees the way of serving God in thankfulness, who studies the way of holiness, who takes care not to forget what he learned, he continues therein. And he does what God commands, thankful for a gracious salvation. This man does not make himself blessed. That's not what James says. That's not the idea. His works don't make him blessed, but his works show him to be blessed. His works give evidence that he is truly blessed. His faith will be shown not to be a dead faith, but a living faith. The man who hears and does, not that he does it perfectly. The point of James is not to make us all walk out dejected because we don't keep the word of God perfectly. But do we do the word? He who hears and does is like the man who built his house on the rock. When the stormy winds of judgment arrive, this man's house will stand firm. Because his hope is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He doesn't base his salvation on his works. But because he is saved, he wants to work. He delights to work. He wants to show his thankfulness. That hearer and doer actually looks forward and can look forward to the judgment day. Why? Because that will be the day of his complete deliverance. Remember, he looked in the mirror. He saw his natural face. He saw the old man of sin yet clinging to him. Day by day, he longed to be rid of him. Well, the judgment day will be the day when God fully delivers him. That will be a glorious day for both the hearer, for the hearer who is also a doer. What kind of hearer and what kind of hearers are we? What kind of hearers are we? Are we those who hear the word and don't do it? Or are we those who hear and do? May God grant us the grace to continue to grow in the doing of his word. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast worked a work in our hearts, that we delight to be doers of the word. Yet we confess we fall short. We pray thou forgive our sins, blot them out in the blood of our Savior. Grant us by thy Spirit that we may again set ourselves to be hearers, right hearers, and also doers of thy word. Go with us now, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.